إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers, on the subject of the strangers, the غرباء who were promised Jannah by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the next quality of the strangers is a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تعلق مع الله. A stranger is a stranger in this dunya because he lives in this dunya like a stranger, because what happens in this dunya does not concern him at a level, at a personal level. It concerns him only in terms of whether or not it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is built, it is not inborn. There is a ta'alluq with Allah which is fitriya, which comes because we are all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the ta'alluq I'm talking about is a ta'alluq on which you have to work and build it. This comes from reflecting on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes from a connection with the Quran al-Kareem. It comes from a connection with the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It comes from a connection with the masajid of Allah. This ta'alluq of Allah, this ta'alluq with Allah is the thing that makes the reality of the promises of Allah real to us. This ta'alluq is what will bring you out of your house to the masjid for salah, even though your salah is valid inside your house. But you know that when you come to the masjid for the same salah, you get 27 times the reward. It is the reality of that reward. I don't think there is probably any Muslim who does not know this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said that if you go and pray salah in the masjid by jama'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you 25 to 27 times the reward. We all know this. How many people come to the masjid? They don't come because even though they know the words, the reality of the words is not opened in their hearts. They don't disbelieve the words. They are not saying the hadith is false, or they are not saying I don't believe. They are not saying that. But the proof of belief is action. If I believe definitely without a doubt that it will rain, and I do not want to get wet in the rain, then I will take some rain protection with me when I go out. It's as simple as that. If I believe, or if I say that I believe it will rain, and I am out there without rain protection, then it can only mean one of two things. I want to get wet in the rain, or that I don't really believe. Even though I am saying I believe, I do not really believe. It is this reality of the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am giving only a simple example of a promise of Allah in this world itself. And of course, the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to this world, they refer to the hereafter, they refer to Jannah wal Jahannam. We ask Allah to give us Jannah and to save us from Jahannam. But when we do not even find the proof of the of belief in the promises of Allah in this world, Allah knows what is the reality of the promises of His promises in the Akhirah in terms of our belief in them. The promises are real. Whether we believe in it or not is the issue. And if we do not believe in Jannah, we will not work for Jannah. If we do not believe in Jahannam, we will not work to prevent and to protect ourselves from the Jahannam. That is the reality. Then that's the problem. So simple. Take another promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is Razzaqudul Quwwatil Mateen, that He is the one who gives rizq. Now if we really believe in this promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can we do anything in the means that we adopt in the earning of our rizq? How can we do anything which is haram? Because if Allah promised to feed us, Allah will feed us. That is Allah's job. Why must we put ourselves in a situation where we are culpable, where we are punishable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing fully what the rules are, we break the rules? Why? For what? That shows that the promise that Allah will feed us, this promise of Allah is not real in our hearts. And therefore we indulge in something which we know displeases Allah. So ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not simply to sit with a tasbih and to repeat the names and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the outward face, the outward facet of it. When you sit and make zikr, this zikr is for what? Zikr is not simply for us to sit and chant something. The zikr is to see what is the effect of that kalima, what is the effect of that name of Allah. If you say Allahu Akbar, what is the effect of Allahu Akbar in the heart? And that's why I always say, if you say it with sincerity, with ikhlas, saying it once is enough for your whole life. Not only for that majlis of zikr. Saying Allahu Akbar once is sufficient for our entire life, till the day we die. That does not mean don't say it again. I'm just saying that the effect of it will be permanent and it will be lasting and it will be in our hearts. But other than that, if you simply sit and say Subhanallah, 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 Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it's not, zikr is not counting. Zikr is not counting, zikr is not chanting, zikr is not these things. Zikr is to remember Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Remembering meaning what? Remembering meaning the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can never encompass the reality of Allah. Allah himself said this. But to try to get to that, to keep your heart in a state of purity, of cleanliness, purifying the heart, tazkiyatun nafs, so that the glory and majesty and nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will illuminate that heart. And then that heart does not bow before anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. This is the meaning of Tawheed. Tawheed is to bring your inner state in line with the outer state. The outer state, Alhamdulillah, we just finished Salatul Fajr. So we made Ruku at the time of Ruku, we made Sujood at the time of Sujood. So the outer state is a state of obedience, inshaAllah. The outer shakal is a shakal of obedience, Alhamdulillah. But what about the inner state? The inner state also must be a state of obedience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it is like watching two figures. The body has gone into ruku, but the inner self is still standing. The body has gone into sujood, but the inside is still standing, in contrast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and ahkam. How can that be? That's a completely non-congruent picture. So we have to ensure that our inner state is in keeping with the outer state, and the outer state is in keeping with the inner state. Both of these must be synchronized. Where we bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our head and we bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our heart together. This is the meaning of ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to count in the day how many times we actually remember Allah. Once again, as I said, it's not just the kalimat. The kalimat are good and the kalimat must be repeated because that's a means. It's a tool of remembering Allah. But the question is the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times in the day do we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we are doing business, when we are talking to our customers, when we are talking to our bosses and subordinates, when we are speaking in the home to wives and children and so on, how many times do we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many times does the name of Allah come onto our tongues? How do we remember and what happens to us when we are in the grip of emotions? For example, when we are angry, do we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And does that remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does it cool down the anger? This is the issue of ta'alluq. When we are afraid of something, do we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that remembrance of Allah, does it drive away that fear? I started being afraid, but the moment I remembered Allah, I say, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah. What can this thing do in front of me? This cannot even breathe without the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am afraid of this. For what? Today people are talking about fear psychosis in India thanks to the statements of people like Praveen Togadia and this one and that one and Muttalik and God knows what all the names are. And I laugh. I said, if the Muslims of India are truly afraid, then they must go and check their iman. If they are truly afraid, if they are afraid of the BJP or the RSS or Narendra Modi or whoever, then they have to check the state of their iman. Because how can a person be a Muslim? How can a person say, La ilaha illallah? And then he is afraid of somebody who says he will kill him? How can Praveen Togadia or Narendra Modi or somebody, how can he kill me or you? How can he kill even a mouse? How can he kill even a mosquito or a fly? when he cannot even breathe without the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is alive because Allah keeps him alive. He will die when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take his life. The poor man has no control over his own breathing. The poor man has no control over the beating of his heart. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong. How can Muslims fear anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they say that my faith is la ilaha illallah? This is absolute nonsense. We have to look at our own iman. The two cannot be. When we say la hawla wala quwwata illa billah, there is no intention, there is no irada, there is no ability, and there is no power except with Allah. If this statement is true, then makhluk cannot have power. So we have to understand this. I mean, which one? Where is our belief? La ilaha illallah. La nafi wa la dharra illallah. There is no one who can give benefit and there is no one who can harm except Allah. If this statement is true and if this is our iman, then how can we look for benefit from anywhere and how can we fear harm from anywhere other than Allah? So if we are fearing this one and that one, it means that there is something seriously wrong with our own iman. It's as simple as that. Nobody and nothing, no human being, no creature, nothing in creation can cause any benefit and can cause any harm except the one who created it. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. This is the meaning of ta'alluq ma'a Allah. What is the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is the ta'alluq which we need to build. The stranger is the one who stands and he is connected with Allah. The stranger is the one who is like the lamp on the post on a dark road. He stands out, he is illuminated, and because of the illumination that he emanates, the entire road is lighted. That is the gharib. That is the stranger. That is the one who is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the light and the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which shines through him. And because of that, the whole road is illuminated. Others benefit. They are able to walk on the road which otherwise would have been dark. Because there is one of the Ahlullah, one who is connected with Allah, who is standing on that road. And because of his illumination, and this illumination does not belong to him, it is the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which shines through his heart, throughout the road which illuminates the road. That is the meaning of the stranger. And that is the meaning of the one who is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are truly connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put our love and our respect and our izzah in the hearts of those who today want to kill us and murder us. That is the meaning of ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hearts of people are between the fingers of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will turn the hearts. And he turns them on the basis of those who are connected with him. The one who is connected with Allah, even the enemies of Islam, even those who are his enemies, will turn and they will love that person. And that is what we need to work on. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to achieve that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased and to permit us to connect with him, because without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not possible to connect with Allah. So we ask, we stand up and we beg and plead and we make the mehnat and we make the effort and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to connect us with him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika wa barakatuh.